Stay tuned. I'm here with the coach, John Brent.
And I'm here with the bet, Mr. Ian Griffin.
Man, so I got something here, coach. Let me see what I got here.
Oh.
Ed and Betty Pariso?
Yeah.
Present 2022 MPC Texas Cup Masters Men Physique second place.
Wow. That's the old folks trophy.
Uh-oh. And then I got another one.
Yeah.
Same peeps. Masters Men Physique fifth place.
So two different divisions. Once I got second, one I got fifth.
Man, these look good.
Yeah.
Have you drank out of them yet?
You know, the funniest thing, I haven't even told you this. On the way back, the first thing I wanted to eat when we left and we're driving back from Belton that night was I've been craving my Chex Mix. I love cheddar Chex Mix.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't, the bag I opened ripped. And I'm like, do I have a bowl in the car? And I actually put this between my legs, poured my bag in, ate it going down the road. My wife took a picture of it. But this was pretty cool for me just because it was the largest show I'd ever been at. There were almost 600 competitors. There were multiple in my divisions. And when I first realized it was that big, I was like, man, I just hope I get a trophy. And
this is for bodybuilding.
It is. It's for men's physique, 45 plus and 50 plus, the two divisions I were in. And so this was very exciting for me. I prepped 14 straight weeks for these, and it was a big deal for me.
Congratulations, coach.
I tell you what, I'm not smart. And this is for the smart people. And this is what I saw. I want to make sure everybody knows that the vet is one of those smart guys.
Oh.
He got a Texas Community College Journalism Association, 2000, first place for non-journalism story combined. And Ian Griffin from Northeast Texas Community College. So the vet is, I'm the dumb jock guy. He's the smart guy.
I can just write. That's all.
Not only that, but you could kick ass in war, and I couldn't kick anybody's ass anymore. So.
Yeah. Well, I kind of gained a little pounds after that, but... I am a award-winning journalist.
That's crazy.
And I would have never thunk that. And so this is a competition for all community colleges in the state of Texas. And they have one called TIPA, which is for the four-year institutions. And we get to compete for that also in the spring.
Yeah. And one thing I will say is when we first started doing these podcasts, we had no clue what we're doing. We still don't. But at that point, we didn't. But one of the things that Ian said, you know, I think maybe we should try to write a book because we were writing some articles. And I was like, I don't know, maybe I'll try, whatever. And not only did he try, he's written, published, sells them all over, signs them, and he's already wrote multiple. And I'm still just the dumb job.
No, he's going to write one this year. He don't know it.
I'm going to write it on the 14-week prep to...
You're going to write your love fest toward Dak Prescott and your hate fest toward Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, absolutely. It's
fiction.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that would be fiction. But anyway, we got our shirts on. We're going to talk a little NFL.
Yeah,
but
we got to talk.
Man, I'm really proud of you, brother. I mean,
me too.
It's a huge thing.
I know the dedication you had to put into that. Because I sit here and I eat like pecan pies in front of him, and he doesn't eat.
Well, I will have to tell you this. A couple of years ago when we were doing this, there was a big thing. I was tired of being comfortable. It seemed like everything I was doing is like over and over and over. I was like, you know what? This new thing I'm going to do going into the new year, and it was when I was going to turn 50. I was still 49. It was this hashtag be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And we've done so many things that are uncomfortable. And one of the things you write in the book, that's not a comfortable thing to start doing and then publish it and promote it and get out there and put a suit on. And it's not a comfortable situation. It's not comfortable for me to get in front of people I have no idea and say, this is my body at 52, thumbs up or thumbs down. It's just not. But you know what? I think more people should do things that are uncomfortable because it helps you grow, mature. And I hate when I see people that are miserable because there's some that I have that are friends of mine. And they keep doing the same thing, and then they'll do something different, and they become happy. It's because they're just being uncomfortable. They're doing things great. And you know what? When I see you writing a book, and I see you online posting, and people hold the books all over, it's never time that I don't have a smile about it, brother.
Cool.
Love it.
Well, I thank you.
Yeah.
So, hey, we got to move on to the NFL, though.
Come on.
Man. We got to move on to the NFL. So we got our shirts on, and we're just going to talk about the NFL a little bit, about some things that's kind of caught us off guard this year. What our expectations are and who we think is going to go all the way.
What are some surprises?
I think the first surprise was the defense of the New York Jets. Oh, my God. That is a real defense.
It is.
That's one. And I got some others. I would say, what a surprise.
One that jumps out for me is when we have a little group that we do, our Cowboy group. There's a few friends of ours. And we're talking about at the beginning of the year what would be a good record for the Cowboys. And I actually said 10-7. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them said, man, if we did that, that would be awesome. So I really think the Dallas Cowboys being 8-3 right now, knowing that they're not only going to go to the playoffs, but they're probably, let's just keep it in a box where we can say they're top two or three teams in the NFC, depending on who's looking at them. And I said at that time, the way the NFC is set up, they actually have a chance to not only go 10-7, but make a playoff run. I think their playoff run, they have a better chance at a playoff run now than at the beginning of the year. And I think that's a huge surprise.
I think so, too. I agree with that. One other one I'll say is the Seattle Seahawks. Who would have thought that Russell Wilson leaving, that Pete Carroll wouldn't pull some freaking magic and finally make Geno Smith be the quarterback that everybody thought he could have been at one time? You know, and Pete Carroll should be in the contention for Coach of the Year. That's definitely – that's one there I will say. You got any others, Coach?
I think a big surprise for me is the Miami Dolphins. Because just because you take a Tyreek Hill away from Kansas City, Kansas City really didn't struggle like they thought they were with Tyreek Hill leaving. Actually, it kind of opened up for some other people. This last week, they had three receivers out and still were scoring.
Yeah.
But I think what happened was you take one person like Tyreek Hill and put him on there, it opened up the field so much that Tua became what they thought Tua could be if he was reached his full potential. And I think in the AFC, of course, there's these big three or four teams, but they could actually, you know, cause a little ruckus in there.
I don't – correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he's lost a game when he's played all the way through.
No, absolutely.
That's something to think about. So the other thing I will say is the demise of the AFC West.
Crazy.
We said last year that was the strongest division there was. Every team was loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say not only the AFC West, but the NFC West.
Both, yeah.
There's only the Chiefs are there, and the rest are just kind of all afterthoughts.
I have to say that the Chiefs and the Chargers are exactly where I thought they would be. But I tell you, the Broncos and the Raiders, that blows me away. I thought the Broncos adding Russell Wilson with what they had mm-hmm. was going to really push the Chiefs, and maybe even some people at the beginning of the year put the Chiefs as third in that division.
Yeah.
Because they thought that big push. But the Raiders, with the coach that they have that came in from the Patriots, you thought that offense is going to soar. It's done nothing. Yeah. The Chiefs are exactly where the Chiefs I thought would be. The Chargers are right where I thought they'd be, a game or two below. But I will have to say this, from a division all the way looking at it, who would have thought the NFC East would have been better than the AFC West this year?
The NFC East, realistically, could have every team in the playoffs this year.
They could.
And they
probably should.
And each one of those teams are not that they're the greatest teams, but each one of them are formidable. They play better than 500.
You're talking about the NFC West. They might get one team, the division leader.
They're going to get the division leader. Yeah. And that division leader is a runoff right now between the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks.
Right.
Have the same record.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be interesting.
I don't know. Maybe the Giants are kind of on that down where I don't think the Giants are really that good. But they do have a shot to be the fourth team, you know, to make it in. Which,
well, the Washington Commanders are on the uprise.
Yes.
And
all right, so let's look at this. From a standpoint of most valuable player, an MVP for the league, it's usually going to be a quarterback. Yep. It just usually is. But let's look at it this way. The most valuable MVP for the league and the most valuable player for a team, I think they're different. People say, they should be the same. Like, to me, I think if you take Tua is really important, and Jalen Hurts are super important for their teams. They're the most valuable players on their mm-hmm. teams. But are they the most valuable player for the league? I don't think so. So I want to ask the question, who do you think is the most valuable player in the league for their team, that if that person wasn't there, they're just toast?
So I have a couple, because there's not one, but, you know, I think Tua needs to be in that conversation. I think Jalen Hurts needs to be in that conversation. I think Patrick Mahomes needs to be in that conversation. I think Mekhi Parsons needs to be in that conversation. Because if you take him off the field for the whole game, I don't think the Dallas Cowboys played the way they played. I don't know. And then maybe Josh Allen. I can't think of anybody else.
I think he's come down the last 3 to 4 weeks. And I think that's kind of pushed him away from that talk. But what I do want to say is Mekhi Parsons, to me, right now, the season ended, is the defensive player of the year.
I think that's hands down.
I think it's hands down. So I think that's going to be over there. From a most valuable player standpoint, I think there's really only two that right now, and I've been seeing this on some of the shows, it's either going to be Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts at this point, if they stopped mm-hmm. right now. And you know, there's still, 6 weeks left.
But I will also say, and I didn't throw his name in there, and we talked about this just a tad before, if you took Lamar Jackson off his team, the Ravens are not the same team.
No.
They don't have a quarterback running for 150 yards.
Right.
They plan for a quarterback to run for 120, 150 yards.
And know? I'm not gonna put Dak Prescott down, because I believe Dak Prescott on the Dallas Cowboys with this team, they have a chance to make it to a Super Bowl. Cooper Rush on this team on the Dallas Cowboys does not have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But you see for 2 or 3 weeks that you can throw a Cooper Rush in with a good running game and a great defense and still win 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4. So I don't think that you can say Dak Prescott is the most valuable player for his team.
I think
someone like Lamar Jackson, if you take him from the Ravens and you put in someone else there in that system, they tank.
Yeah.
So
and I think it's two different. Jalen Hurts too. Yeah.
And I think that's two different arguments. Most valuable player of the league or most valuable player for your team.
So who do you let's talk this. Who do you think's posers and who do you think's the real deal? And I can go in the NFC easily, and I think that. And in AFC, I'm kind of fluxed on some of it, but
okay.
But who do you think is right now, who would walk in the playoffs right now, are posers, and who do you think is the real deal?
From the AFC, I think the poser would be the Bengals, just because I really believe they got a little bit of roll at the end last time. Their offensive line still sucks.
Yeah.
They don't play together good as a team.
They picked the Dallas Cowboy reject. Collins.
Exactly. So I think, to me, they're going to be, because Joe Burrow has been put up here as like a savior for LSU fans and for what happened last year, I just think that they're not going to do much.
Yeah.
Go ahead, and then I'll give you an NFC next.
For the AFC, I have three contenders in the AFC, and they're the only three contenders I got. And I think the Chiefs are there. I think the Dolphins are there. And I think the Bills are there, and they're trying to make their way not to be there. I hate to say that.
But I think what's good for the Bills is, and you know I'm a huge Chiefs fan, but my second team in AFC, of course I love the Bills, is I think they are going through this at the right time.
Yeah.
If this was the last 3 or 4 weeks, they'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
But I think what they're doing right now is they're just getting it all together for that last run.
And I think the Tennessee Titans is a real deal. But I will say, if you get somebody to stop the run game on them, they're a whole different team.
Yeah, but their coach is a coach. And when you get on the field and you got Pete Carroll on the sideline, you got Bill Belichick on the sideline, you got Mike Vrabel on the sidelines, you got Andy Reid on the sidelines, you're going to have to not only play a good team, but you have to play a good coach team.
Yep.
And I think you put Mike Vrabel, do you see what he did with the Chiefs? I mean, they're not anywhere matched up with the Chiefs at all, but they should have won that game.
Yep.
I mean, there's just certain types of coaches. Now, in the NFC, for me, I think the posers, I think there's two of them. I don't even know if one of them is going to make the playoffs. I think the posers are the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they do make the playoffs, this is a big if, I think that the Seattle Seahawks will be a poser at the end. I just don't think they're going to be able – they're going to be on the road. They're not going to be in Seattle. And I think that's a huge thing for Seattle to be in Seattle.
I think the two toughest teams in the NFC is not the Philadelphia Eagles.
I got three.
I think it is the 49ers. I agree with you on that. I think the 49ers will be the toughest team. And then after that, I think it's the Cowboys. I view the Philadelphia Eagles like I view every Marty Schottenheimer football team.
Hmm.
And they barely won. They have a great season record. They put up great stats. And they have Joe Cool as quarterback, and they get their ass handed to them in the playoffs.
All right, so let me give you my three. I got the NFC. I think the way that things are going with the experience they have recently in the playoffs, the 49ers, and adding McCaffrey to that.
I think that's
and
a
you
big
got Joe
addition.
Cool back there being quarterback. And I'm saying he doesn't have to do. He just has to make those third down and fourth throws. He just needs to hand the ball off. He needs to keep his team close, and that defense gets better every week.
Yep.
I think they're number one, and I think the Eagles and Cowboys, you can flip them however you want to at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I even say that is because the Eagles beat the Cowboys. They had Cooper Rush. The Cowboys are going to play at home. Whoever wins that game is going to be a big thing. Right now they're 2.5 games back pretty much.
Yeah,
the Cowboys.
Two games.
Right. So they're going to have to win that game and the Eagles.
Game and a half.
Well,
but it's two games.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
And then So in the AFC, I think it's the Chiefs one. I think that the Bills and I think still the Bills are two. And I really think that Miami, the way they're playing, is three.
Yeah.
But I do think that the Ravens can get a row, the Titans can get a row, and get in an AFC championship game. Because Josh Allen's throwing interceptions like he did a couple years ago. And it's like anytime he gets to the 30, he's throwing. Dak Prescott's had that the last 2 weeks. Get him somewhere around the 20 or 30 and just throw it out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Josh Allen, if he stops that and just starts running at that point, you don't want to hit that dude when he runs. He wants to hit you.
So I saw him get up after he got hit, and he's like, hey.
Like, come on and hit me. Yeah. All right, so I think what we should try to do now is if you had to have a bet in person, if you had to bet AFC, NFC, Super Bowl team today, who would you pick? This is not easy, dude.
I think there's a lot of variables out there, to be honest.
Well, of course.
And
well, if everybody's healthy right now and they're going into the playoffs.
And the way they're playing today, I think the Chiefs would win in the AFC. I think that.
I got the Chiefs in the AFC, but the NFC.
But I do see the Miami Dolphins pulling the freaking January surprise on somebody. So I have them. I do not pick the Eagles because I believe they're what we saw with the Minnesota Vikings the other day. I think they're about to find some teams that's going to punch them in the mouth. And they found out with Washington. And now they're about to find some other teams. They play Tennessee next week. They play Green Bay, which Green Bay don't have a great record, but we'll see what happens there. You know,
there's only one team that I can. There's only two. I'm gonna tell you this: whoever's going to be the number one seed in the NFC has a huge advantage.
Yep.
And the reason I say this is if you have to go to Philadelphia and play outside, if you're the 49ers or the Cowboys in that cold, it is a disadvantage. If the Cowboys were to actually somehow get the number one seed, I believe an advantage is the Cowboys. If the 49ers keep playing the way they're playing, I'm saying to me it's the 49ers and the Cowboys.
I agree with you there. I think it's going to be down to those two teams in a thing. And think
unless
about this.
Unless the Eagles have home field advantage, then I'm going to go with the Eagles.
And think about this, Coach.
Golly, it's so
as I say that, think about this. Is at the first of the year, you and I almost had the same interpretation. I said they would beat every team that's over 500, under 500.
Yeah.
Is what I said. And
that's the problem with the Cowboys, beating them over 500 teams right now.
Yeah, they beat a couple just recently, but I said they would easily, and they would look good at those, and they wouldn't look good at the rest.
Yeah.
And they've exceeded our expectations.
Absolutely.
And I think, I really thought that we would see Mekhi Parsons drop off. And my God, I should have never underestimated that dude because he should have.
And another thing that you underestimated, and I think we all did, was this offensive line has turned into be a good offensive line.
I've commented the last two.
Penalties still are ridiculous.
The last 2 weeks. Now, where it was the first week's different.
Yeah.
I will tell you that. But Coach knows that I have harped on the offensive line since last November. At the first of November when they started losing, I said it looks horrible. The guy's running for his life. And now he's not running for his life.
Yeah.
Now he hadn't played the 49ers either, you know, where he might run for
his
life.
Well, that's the thing is, you think about it. Now, let's do it real quick because I know we're running out of time. The Cowboys are not – let's just say the Cowboys get second in their division.
Yep.
Okay? They're going to go on the road the first week.
No, the first week they'll be home. Because
well, it depends on
– if they have the best record, they'll be home the first
against
week. Against – whoever the next best record
is. So the only one that has a bye is number one.
That's the only one that has a bye, but on wild card week because
so two will play
two will play number six,
right? Three
and
will play
number five and four, which is Dallas.
No, four. There's four divisions.
Whoa,
that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah,
if
you're right.
So what I'm telling you is they're going to go on the road and play the division winner and the worst division winner record. What could possibly be right off the gate, the 49ers.
Yeah,
and it would be at Candlestick.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have to beat the 49ers on the road.
Yep.
We're going to have to beat probably the next one on the road would probably be – because we're going to be on the road at that point.
Yeah, you're right. We would go on the road the whole
and
time.
Then we're going to be the Eagles on the road.
It would be the next best record.
Who was that?
It would be the Buccaneers or it would be –
okay, so that's what I'm saying. I forgot that. That's
or
it would
be the Vikings.
To. So you're going to go on the road and either have to – you're going to have to beat the 49ers on the road, Brady on the road,
If they win
the
division, because them and the Falcons are tight right now. Tank, go away.
So, he's good. But what I'm just saying is, the road to the NFC went in the beginning of the year looked easier, and at the end it looks harder. because you're going to have to beat Brady. I don't care. You got still got Brady still got the badass defense. Mm-hmm. Let's just say it. The Bucs are going to they're waiting for the they're like the Bulls. Sometimes it's like let's just get to the playoffs.
Well, and now he's single and ready to mingle too. So you know, so that changes everybody.
Yeah. So I'm just saying for the Dallas Cowboys, we're talking about good teams. They're going to have to beat a good team with the 49ers, which some people believe that's the best team. They're going to beat the greatest quarterback in the playoffs of all time.
And they have never beat him.
Right, and they're going to beat the Eagles on the road, at the Vet, at home, in the winter, to go to the Super Bowl to play the Chiefs, the Bills, or whoever.
Yeah. It's not too much to ask. Cowboys can do it. Yeah. I got faith in them. Yeah. But I think a lot rides on the next few weeks because of we'll see how it pans out if the Eagles and Cowboys
play. Let's just say for a second, though, because I wanted to do that. I know we're running out of time. The Eagles lose two or three games, and the Cowboys win the division.
Yeah.
Okay, and they win the division, and they're, say, 12 and 5, 13 and 4. Let's call it 13 and 4. They win the division, and they're number one, and everything goes through Dallas. They still got to beat the 49ers. They still got to beat Tom Brady and or the Vikings, which I think they can. The Vikings
They won't beat the Vikings like they did before.
No, because the Vikings, they played their Super Bowl against the Bills the week before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But I think
it's tough.
I think they can. I have faith that Dallas can beat the Eagles and the Vikings and the Buccaneers, even though they ain't ever beat the damn Buccaneers.
And that's why I like the Chiefs, the Bills, and the 49ers, just because of the last 3 to 4 years. They've been in that fire and have won in that fire all the way, you know. I mean, let's just think. Without 13 seconds, the Bills are probably going to beat the Bengals and go to the Super Bowl.
But think about this. In the NFC, nobody's been in that fire.
That's what I'm saying, 49ers.
So it's open game. It's open game.
That's why I think the 49ers are the toughest team to play right now. That would be a team that I would not want to play in round one, and I would not want to play in Candlestick.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But, hey, we won at Candlestick before, but it's not Candlestick no more.
Dude, I don't know. We won at Candlestick with Alvin Harper making that long run. Come on now.
It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful pass. Troy, most accurate pass.
I think we should go to Candlestick, everybody wearing cowboy hats.
Yeah. The mud game. Remember the mud game?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Well, so that's our take, and I think the NFL has kind of gotten pretty wild.
This would be a perfect Super Bowl for us because at that point in time, whoever won, I'd be happy.
No.
You wouldn't, but I would.
I want to see
But do you know if I do get this one wins, what I have to do?
Got to get that tattoo.
I got to get a number 4 tattoo in the body. I finally told my wife the week, and she said, what?
You got to get a tattoo like on the face like Mike Tyson.
or no, like my prisoners. Most of my prisoners got them on their neck. So, anyway, I don't think I'm going to have to get to 4, but if I do.
That'd be great.
It's going to be on TV,
It'd
baby.
Be great. It'd be great. So, from the coach.
To the Vet.
It's time to stay tuned. Go Cowboys.